Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Grace Bonney of After the Jump, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Episode 143 of The Morning After. I'm Jesse Kiefer.
I'm Sarah Kamen.
On today's show, shit food blogger, internet personality, and all-around shit food talker. He will be staying anonymous today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
And Sarah, later in the show...
Not anonymous for the first time.
Not anonymous.
You guys, it's me. It's really me.
I mean, that's a beautiful thing about radio, though. We don't have to show your face. This is why everyone should do radio, way better than TV, right?
I have a camera on me right now, so I'm sucking in.
Yeah.
I'm making my duck face.
We do have a cameraman in studio filming for the Heritage Radio Kickstarter video, so keep an eye out for that.
Do I look like a Kardashian?
Not at all, Sari. Not at all. That's a good thing.
Thank God.
So later in the show, we will throw some shit at the shit food blogger with the morning after quiz. But first, Sari Kamen, I'm headed to the Blue Hill Wasted pop-up tonight. And I heard you went last night.
I did go last night.
And I want to hear all about it. And I'm sure shit food blogger has some things to say about it as well.
I have a few.
Should I just talk about it right now?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Oh, okay. It was I thought it was great. All the food came from scraps or bits of animals, different kinds of proteins that don't normally get served, like vegetable skins made up the salad. And there was this mousse with the salad that came from whipped water of a chickpea can. I mean, it was pretty crazy. I loved the service. All the chefs came out and delivered it directly and explained what everything was. Chef Dan Barber was there. He helped explain some things. Chef Grant Ackett was there from Millennia, which was super exciting. I ate the wing of a monkfish, and it made me feel like I was really eating wings, which was really cool for me because I don't eat chicken.
Yeah, Sari's a Presbyterian, so
A Jewish one. It was like greasy and fried and had hot sauce, and I totally dug it.
So it was like the first time you ever had a chicken wing
with a bone in it,
because it didn't taste like chicken. I'm sure
it tasted really good.
Okay, well, I guess
it's supposed to taste like chicken.
I guess I'll find out tonight. So, shit food blogger, what are your thoughts about the Wasted pop-up?
I just want to congratulate everybody that's involved with Wasted.
Thank you.
For eating like most people do.
Thank you so much.
And I think it's a really big step for privileged people.
Thank you.
To understand that most people try to use all their food and don't just throw everything away because it might have a few marks on it. Yeah, Pete Wells wrote I don't want to say a review. He did review it, but it was more of a puff piece, in my opinion.
Like a puff daddy?
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And there's some really nice thoughts in here, but I have the review up in front of me, and he ends it with, "For now, whenever one of my children complains about dinner, I'll silence him by saying that I once ate garbage and liked it."
I love that you have a Pete Wells voice, too.
I do. I practice my Pete Wells pretty much every day.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm super excited to eat some garbage tonight.
And so,
I'll tell my kids about it, too.
Yeah, please tell your kids about it. Congratulate yourselves for eating food that most people eat.
Do I get an award?
I think you're congratulating yourself on the back already, so just feel really, really good about that warm feeling you have inside about eating garbage.
Keep it right there in the warm and fuzzy place.
Keep it warm in your heart. Sarah, do you have some food news for us?
Oh, yeah, I do, actually.
And shit food blogger, obviously, please weigh in on this if you have any opinions or feelings.
Our first news is about Yelp, so I have a feeling, Mr. Shitfood, that you're going to have some thoughts. Okay, so this comes from Boston. Chef Michael Scalfo from the restaurant Alden and Harlow did some Yelp shaming this weekend, I believe, two young ladies sauntered into his restaurant and decided to seat themselves at a table. They got drinks from a bar and sat themselves at a table. And
which is not the policy.
Yeah, it's not a seat yourself kind of joint. It's pretty nice. reservations, all that. So the servers came over, tried to get them to leave, or at least ask them to wait, or whatever the situation was. And their response was taking out their phones and threatening to Yelp. And they, apparently they said some really mean things and were rather abusive to all of the servers. So I guess they finally left. And what Chef Michael Scalfo decided to do was post a picture of them on Instagram. He hashtagged it, "We don't negotiate with Yelpers," hashtag K-bye. And then he wrote, "Shout out to these two winners for seating themselves with no reservations, insulting and berating our staff, refusing to leave, and all the while yelping away in front of us as a means of threat." So this is interesting. I mean, this is like, you know, it's so loaded. There's such a layered conversation about how Yelpers feel empowered. And this is sort of an opportunity for a chef to like get on social media and kind of reclaim that stance, I guess. Thoughts? Shit food blogger, I'm sure.
I do. I get the anger. I get the passion. I get the frustration that people must have when people like me go on and just express opinions. The problem with that, the long-term problem with that, is the only way to get rid of a bad Yelp review is to push it down by having better Yelp reviews. And he's changed the conversation. Instead of being about his food, about his service, about the experience, it is now about the combat that he has between him and these two idiots. Can I say? Yeah, that's alleged idiots. So I get it, but I don't think that makes sense in the long term. I get it in the moment, but long term, he's now changed the discussion about his restaurant as to one about those two Yelpers that came in.
Yeah, I definitely think in general, chefs and customers give Yelp way too much power.
I agree. I mean, I've had bosses tell me, like, you know, "Oh, this Yelp review happened, so we should probably reach out to them." And I'm like, no,
yeah.
No. I usually think when there's a bad Yelp review, for the most part, it's just someone like kind of blowing steam off.
And yeah, I don't really.
I think that when you've got 15, you know, great reviews, and then you've got this one bad review, it's like, you know what, that was a specific situation. And I think certainly if someone is having an issue in the restaurant, reach out to the manager. Don't just become a victim and go on the internet where you feel safe to throw your complaints. You know, say something to the manager so that something can be done in that moment and it can be fixed, and maybe you can leave the restaurant happy.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, shaming somebody on the
Well, the chef is getting internet. A lot of support, and other restaurants in the neighborhood, because their picture was posted,
mm-hmm.
have joined the conversation and have said if they see those two, they're not going to let them in. So this was definitely a plan that backfired.
I mean, I think I've also heard that, you know, a lot of supporters of the restaurant just started writing really great Yelp reviews also. So it kind of, you know, it probably did push that negative
That's
review
great.
Down. But, you know, don't use Yelp as a threat. That's just crappy.
Yeah, if you do, you're a loser.
Yeah, if That's you it. Do, yeah, exactly.
You just are. You suck in life. You fail. All right. I hope you eat bad food for the rest of your life.
Yeah, there you go.
and badly reviewed restaurants.
There you go.
Okay, so this is weird. In Valencia, which is in California. Jesse, can you confirm?
You're
from the West?
I've been told many times that I'm not from the West Coast, though. Arizona is not the West Coast. So
Moving
I can't
on.
Really tell you about California, but
okay.
I'm pretty sure Valencia sounds like a place in California.
It does, like Venice.
Yeah. But not.
Right. Okay, so there's an Indian restaurant called Tandoori Grill, where the restaurateur, the owner of the restaurant, has apparently been discovered to keep a dishwasher as his slave for the last 3 years.
Mm.
Speaking of dishwashing and slavery.
What?
So the victim, who is unidentified, came to America 3 years ago, came to work at the restaurant. When he got there, the restaurant owner, whose name is Kumar, took his passport and then brutalized him enough where he was freaked out. He took the cook or the dishwasher and forced him to work up to 14 hours a day without pay for 3 years. He was kept inside Kumar's house without any contact outside of the restaurant. Yeah.
I'm just faces full of open mouth shock.
And so okay. The restaurant owner is being held on $100,000 bail, which is not enough.
No, that because I mean, all that unpaid wages, you know, he must be rolling in the dough.
Sure, I mean, can you imagine? You're like, welcome to America. I'm going to be a cook.
And I'm
a slave.
Well, when you first said he was forced to work up to 14 hours a day, I was like, oh, well, that's what most restaurant people do, but without pay.
Without pay.
I see that.
And then forced to go home and live in this guy's basement.
Jeez, man, Sari.
I know.
Do we have any, like, uplifting news today?
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah.
Like, I missed the tattoo-faced Johnny one from...
I know. I'm sorry. I've got a good one.
A couple weeks ago.
But that's crazy. Okay, I've got a good one.
No, that's horrible.
No, I know.
I hope that guy, again, he eats bad food and in prison for many, many years.
Yeah. And the opposite to the slave. Okay, so this is good. A man released a rat on Valentine's Day in a restaurant in England to avoid paying for his meal. This is hilarious.
And then yelped about it.
He tried to. He ate alone, and there was a buffet. It cost $11. He paid for it. And then right after he paid for it, he pulled a rat out of his pocket, let it go, and was like, oh my God, there's a rat in the restaurant. And everyone started freaking out. And the chef was like, that seems weird. And then they checked the videotape, and they saw him take the rat out of his restaurant and put it down. So he
right out of his pocket
and
put it onto the restaurant floor.
He did. And apparently the chef was like, that rat looks really nice and also looks like it just went to the groomer. It doesn't look like a street rat. So he didn't want to pay for his $11 meal on Valentine's Day, but now he's in prison and...
Do you think you gotta
pay a lot more than that.
Do you think that had anything to do with it being Valentine's Day, or he's just a jerk?
Maybe both. Maybe he was bitter.
It could be both.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But good technique.
It's never a good look to be out by yourself on Valentine's Day, and also not a good look to bring a rat with you.
Especially when you're a restaurant. Especially, when the significant other you're with is a rat.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it is, like, you know, his partner, and it's obviously his partner in crime, so...
Well, I hope they're very happy together in prison for a long, long time.
No, I hope the rat got a nice new home.
Well, I think a rat would think prison is a nice new home.
Good point. All right, I'm glad you brought everything back up with that story, Sari. I'm glad. Slavery
it's not my fault.
Down.
Food news, be more funny.
All right, well, we'll hope for next week. We'll hope for next week. We're going to take a break here on The Morning After. We're going to come back with Shit Food Blogger.
You're listening to Quick by Dreams.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Hi, how are you? My name is Andrew W.K. They say when things are very delicious, it must be Heritage Radio.
Who says that?
Andrew W.K. says that.
And we're back. You're listening to The Morning After on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We're here in the back of Roberta's Pizza with our guest today, Shit Food Blogger. Yay!
He's remaining anonymous.
His name is Shit Food Blogger for all of you.
Mm-hmm. For all of you.
You don't know.
Only we know the answers.
Yeah, a lot of people know.
Well, we don't know.
Sorry.
We're very excited. He has a strong internet presence. He's a celebrity blogger. Mm. He's friends with Kanye West on Twitter. Mm. True or false? True.
True.
Pete Wells is frightened of him. Amanda Cohen worships him. Oh, welcome to the show, Shit Food Blogger.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
You're nice and cozy.
Yeah. I've listened to, 36 episodes?
36,000 episodes.
Yeah, 36,000 episodes.
Yep. Of The Morning After?
Of The Morning After.
That's like
after.
More than I've listened to, and I was present for all of them.
That's more than we've made.
Well, 36,000, yes, but 36. I guess I want to know immediately, because I am kind of internet-tarded. Is that a thing?
Yes.
I do not know how to tweet very well. How does one become an internet personality?
I'm really not the person to ask,
but
of all the people
of all the people
in this room,
you are.
All right, so I can at least tell you how I started.
Okay.
My wife and I, which Shit Food Blogger is not actually married, and recently came out as a white male.
You and Thug Kitchen?
Yeah.
Got to go. Let's not go there yet.
No.
Moving on.
Yeah. We were living in Atlanta and having a really shitty time living in Atlanta. A lot of bad things had happened in our personal lives that were really sad. And we were doing a food blog together. And I just said something. I said, God, that is something stupid, or that's just shit that, you know, a food blogger would say. So it was around the time that Shit My Dad Says was really popular when I started. And I said, oh, I should tweet that. But when we tweet, it's always positive. It's always encouraging. And she looked at me and she said, you can't tweet that. And so that's why I started Shit Food Blogger. And it was going to be Shit Food Blogger Say, and I'm really glad it didn't turn into that, but Twitter would only allow Shit Food Blogger. That's as many characters as it would allow. So I became Shit Food Blogger. And
so it's like Shit Food Blogger can say whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And other guy.
Other guy, absolutely
like
not.
Nice,
would never want his children to find out that he has a Twitter account.
Shit Food Blogger, no kids.
Well, no. Shit Food Blogger does have a kid. Her name is Lemonaise. And her name is Lemonaise because Martha Stewart for quite a while was taking the worst pictures possible ever and posting them on Twitter with no regret or sense of how horrible she was damaging her brand. Not really, but yeah, it was bad.
I mean, prison might have damaged
well,
it
fine.
Too.
Okay.
But prison didn't do it. These pictures sure
did. This is worse than prison.
Got it. I mean, for Martha Stewart, yeah.
Yeah. That's how bad these pictures were. So she was talking about a recipe for her favorite dressing, and the first ingredient was lemonaise, which was just it's a real ingredient, lemon mayonnaise. It's on the shelves of many grocery stores, but I just thought it was so funny.
It's a portmanteau.
Fine. Yes. And lemonaise became the name of my child.
Now, Shit Food Blogger being a alter ego, Lemonaise is a fictional child.
Yes, but very real.
But
in
very
my
real.
Heart.
Okay.
But
all
also
right.
deceased.
Yeah, I got bored with her, as many food bloggers do with their children. So for a while, you have a lot of stories to tell off your kids, and then you realize that your child is as boring as you are, so then you stop telling stories about your child. And I realized after about a month or so that I had not tweeted about lemonade, so I said that I killed her because I forgot about her, and then I brought her back to life because nothing's better than a comeback story in the food blogger world.
So currently she is alive, not
to No.
She's alive as a dead person.
Yes, exactly. She is my fake dead daughter, Lemonade.
The internet.
Yeah, she's a really precious girl. She does a lot of funny things. She says a lot of great, witty things that you would think only adults would say. But she really loves life, and she loves me.
You must be very proud.
I am so proud of her. She is great. Love her so much. She's amazing.
To maintain an active shit food blogger account, how many tweets do you feel like you send a day?
I would say this week has been really busy for me and my personal life, my real life. So it hasn't been that many for me. But typically it would be somewhere around 50 to 100 tweets per day.
Do you ever say because I say this, maybe I should, cut back on my drinking or my eating or something. Do you ever say, I should cut back on my tweeting?
All the time.
How do you get anything else done?
So I have to compartmentalize time to make sure that I'm getting done all the things that I need to. And I'm often using this account to get myself jump-started in writing. I have to do a lot of writing in my real life, so I will use ShitFoodBlogger to kind of get the engine going, use it as a creative writing exercise, and then be able to write pretty quickly.
If you had to choose between Twitter and your family, what would you choose?
My family.
Oh, okay.
Wait, Lemonade?
Possibly.
Lemonade.
Duh.
So you have a strong presence on the internet, and you're able to communicate with a lot of well-known chefs and other bloggers. Do you have a favorite person that you like tweeting with?
I do. Helen Rosner at Eater is my favorite person to tweet with. She understands what I'm doing sometimes and will fire back and will make fun of me and make fun of what I'm doing and call me out, which is something that I absolutely love. Kat Ginsman, Kitten with a Whip, is phenomenal as well. She's at Tasting Table, an editor there.
A new follower of TMA on HRN, I should say.
I'm going to thank Shit Food Blogger for that one.
Thanks.
Sure. You're welcome. She is not her own person, I'm sure it's just because of me. Kat is a phenomenal person, a phenomenal writer, and has been extremely encouraging to me to be as weird as I need to be, to not put limits on myself and write. So those are two people that I really adore. But then there are other folks like Only One Marisa Miller, who has just a couple of hundred followers, but is one of the strongest voices I know when it comes to people who are living on the edge of poverty, trying to make do, feed her family, deal with a really tough situation that she's in, and she's just a phenomenal, phenomenal person. And let's pick one more.
Well, we know Amanda Cohen's a big fan.
Yeah, I think Amanda Cohen is phenomenal. So Dirt Candy, I've never eaten at her restaurant. I've never met her, but when the issue of chefs who are women was gaining a lot of attention about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, she was such an outspoken, articulate, passionate, no holds barred, just punching as hard as she could, and every punch landed. She's somebody that I respect so much, and I'm terrified of her. So it's been very cautious with her because I respect her so much, but I learned that she knew how to play along with me. Sometimes.
She's hilarious.
She's so smart. She's so fucking smart.
Yeah, and I think you promised you'd mention her pots. At least give them a shout
out.
Yeah.
So Amanda Cohen has something on her Dirt Candy 2.0 menu called Cabbage Hot Pots. And I just think putting anything on a menu that's hot pot is called hot pot is the funniest thing that a chef could possibly put on her menu. Hot pots. It's just fun to say.
There's a hot pot restaurant.
Fine. I'm going.
Okay.
I'm going.
It's somewhere in Brooklyn.
It's amazing. That's an amazing phrase, hot pot.
Yeah. And you've got like a weird thing with Pete Wells.
I have a total
I can't tell if you
boner.
Love or hate him.
I've written several tweets that I collected on my Tumblr, which is shitfoodbloggersay.tumblr.com, of what I will say when I meet Pete Wells.
That was pretty epic.
It will be those. Very bro-y.
It's violent.
Is it?
Yes, I think.
Well, I think broiness is violent.
There's something about
him breaking your hand.
Yeah. He's very strong. He's a very strong person in my mind and in my heart. I really respect Pete Wells a lot. And one of the things I try to do with my account, when I'm just going to congratulate myself for always doing it perfectly, is to always punch up instead of punch down. One thing that I tweeted a while ago that got retweeted recently was with dough or with bread, punch down. With satire, punch up. Pete is as big as it gets for me. He is the ultimate writer for me. And he's also unknown to me. I don't know what he looks like. I have no idea. So I only know him through his writing. And I admire him a great deal. And his writing angers me. And I think that's really a great thing that somebody who's reviewing restaurants can make me so mad. Whether it's about wasted food or whether it's about Guy Fieri or...
See, I would think that would actually make you happy, the Guy Fieri one. Because that was 100% sarcasm.
It was 100% sarcasm, and I really hated that review.
Is it because it was mean?
I got it after a paragraph. And I just wonder how much further you have to go with it. It just felt like enough. He had destroyed Guy's restaurant. He made his point within the opening paragraph. I didn't need a whole thing. Mm-hmm. But he had a lot of words that he had to turn in. So.
Wow. You have a lot of fans.
Okay.
And you put the call out.
I did.
Yeah, because you knew you were coming on the show, and you summoned your fans and your masses to tweet some questions that they are just dying to hear the answers to.
Yep, five people tweeted me.
So I have the privilege of now asking you
if
these
I knew
questions.
How to tweet, I would have. But I guess we're here together.
Okay, we're gonna go through this list, and hopefully you'll know the answers.
Yep.
Okay. This is from @SamVance. Please discuss breakfast meats and waffle sandwiches.
Oh, I got problems with that.
Yeah.
No, any waffle sandwiches are upsetting. It's too much.
So, but not breakfast sandwiches in general, just waffles.
Yeah, the waffles themselves, it makes me... I have a problem with sweet and savory together. I can do it. I know.
It's weird.
No, it's horrible. And I understand it as a concept, but my palate doesn't like it at all. I don't like it.
Okay,
English
so
muffin?
No.
English muffin? Sure. Would do that.
But that's like savory and savory.
Yeah.
Got it.
So when What about chicken and waffles?
Yeah, yes.
That's sweet and savory.
That was the first one. So I was up in Harlem, and I forget the restaurant, and had chicken and waffles. And the famous one.
Oh. Was it Red Rooster?
Nope.
Nah. It's like an old school place.
So Sylvia's.
Yeah.
So Sylvia's. And I thought, okay, if I'm going to have it anywhere, I'm going to have it here. Mm-hmm. And it blew my mind, and it was also upsetting. But it was really, really good stuff.
Because it proved you wrong?
No, because it was so well made that I liked it, but I still don't like sweet and savory.
So there's the exception.
Yep.
Okay. This is from, you mentioned her, @OnlyOneMarissa. Did you do your thing yet? I have a question. How many babies fit in a tire?
Oh, Marissa, here's the thing. All the babies fit in a tire, and none of the babies fit in a tire.
I think she should tweet this to Ann Geddes.
You could. Marissa is so phenomenal, and she would be mad if I started to take the mood down, but Marissa experienced a miscarriage that she and I have talked about in depth.
And now on radio.
She publicly talks about it, absolutely. And she's written beautifully about losing her child, and of anybody that I would hate to offend with the lemonade shtick, which is a comment on my own children in my real life and the conflict that I feel about writing about them. She's the one person that I know, other than my mother, who has lost a child, that can deal with what it is that I'm doing and talk to me about it. So with Marissa, it is all the babies and none of the babies fit into the tire.
Okay.
It's like an inside joke thing.
It is.
It's too deep for me.
Yep.
Moving on. From at Cecil Aaron. How do you politely tell someone they are pronouncing Meritage wrong? And the thing is that I'm struggling with is I think she meant Meritage, but she spelled it wrong.
Okay.
Is this a board? Meritiage?
No. Is it? Are you getting a yes?
A Meritage, I'm pretty sure, is a specific blend.
This is not a Meritage. This is my problem. She didn't write Meritage. She wrote Meritage.
So it's even a word that we don't even know.
She wrote Meritiage.
Now she's laughing at us.
Yeah, but
I think she meant Meritage.
I think she meant Meritage, and it's also Twitter, so you don't have to spell correctly.
No. I'm just making sure that's not a word I don't know.
It's not a trick question.
Okay.
Yeah. I think so. How do you tell someone?
How do you politely tell someone?
I think you just say, I think that's Meritage.
So I would say, like, maybe use it back in a sentence.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, about that Meritage.
Yeah.
I know the question wasn't for me. I'm sorry. I'm answering it.
But you could also just say Meritage for the rest of the evening. It's not going to hurt you. Is it?
Is it your own joke in your head? I mean, I guess I think for me, if I say something wrong, it will torture me for the rest of the evening.
It would bother me. I'm not going to lie.
Can we talk about Meritage? Would you drink a Meritage?
Actually, no.
Why?
I don't know. I think most people who use that as it's like a heritage like mm-hmm. blend. Mm-hmm. I would find them making something over-extracted and over-oaked and all of that. So a Meritage is not going to be on my dining table.
Would you drink a Meritage?
No.
Okay.
What about a Meritage?
I think we already talked about this.
Okay. I'm just checking.
This is like who's on first.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving forward, not backwards. From at Chatty Chew. He has two questions. Shit Food Blogger, first question.
Yep.
How much garlic is not enough garlic?
How much garlic is not enough garlic? So I would say anything over 40 cloves is enough.
So anything under is not enough?
That's correct.
I'm just helping you answer
that
question.
Yeah.
Okay. What about if you're a vampire?
Vampire? I fuck them.
Got it.
Okay. Second question. And when is cinnamon never okay?
So cinnamon, it's too much. Right?
Isn't anything?
Yeah, in most things.
When is it never okay?
When is it never okay? I think in the bedroom. Mm. And in the bathroom.
You know what? I use cinnamon toothpaste.
We need to talk about it.
I think it's because I was raised with it.
I think you need to close up.
It's hippie shit.
Close up.
You need to get that out of your life. Get it out of the bathroom.
What if you're chewing cinnamon gum and you're in the kitchen and then you go to the bathroom?
And you spit it out.
Oh.
I mean, so hot tamales are off?
In the bedroom?
Where are we eating? Off. Yeah,
where are we? In the bedroom.
Where are we eating hot tamales?
Okay, so no cinnamon in the bedroom.
Are you eating it on the toilet?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, then.
Yeah. I don't think
that's a deal breaker. If I saw hot tamales and I was on the toilet, I would eat them.
Fine.
Yeah,
would you eat them in the shower? I would eat them in the shower. That's probably the exception.
Less likely, but
because you can.
I'm not going to say no. I'm never say never.
Right, but like holding the plate out. Have you ever done that with a beer?
Oh,
100%. Had a beer in the shower?
Right.
Show before us, Mike Edison is the biggest proponent of beer in the shower.
So no, but I've had a glass of water on the toilet.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right, we're getting to know each other. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is what I do.
I mean, we only spend every Sunday together.
You didn't know that about me. It's right next to the sink.
Oh, got it. I don't actually never pour a glass of water out of the bathroom sink.
My bathroom sink water is very cold.
Is it the best? I do understand that like crisp. One faucet is going to be better than the others, though.
It's like an Arctic waterfall next to my toilet.
Wow.
Okay. This is from Layla Schlack.
Oh, Layla. She's a fun cooking. She's great.
No nepotism.
All right. I have no skin in the game there.
What's that smell? Is something burning? Those are the questions I'd like you to answer on the radio.
So what's that smell? I don't know.
Is something burning?
Yeah, something is burning, but I don't know what the smell is. So
it could be this old Afghan that we're sitting on.
The pizza's called the little stinker, and stinker is a smell.
Or is this another inside joke that Sari and I are never going to get?
It's not an inside joke. It's not about dead babies. No, the answer is it's that frozen pizza in the oven is burning.
Wait, something just happened.
What?
We got a tweet.
Go.
This just came in. Oh my god, I'm so
like,
excited.
I do not understand.
I tweeted Pete Wells and Kat Ginsman to see if I could answer any of their questions.
She
Maybe
says,
it's Pete.
This is from Marissa Miller. She said, why has no one ever asked about Ann Geddes about the babies in the title? But I just did.
You did. No, I think she's excited.
I think she's excited.
She heard you. She's listening.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Marissa, you're killing it. You're the best.
You're killing it. You're the best. Okay. next. This is from Baconator. Iron Chef. Battle omakase. You versus Batali. You have to wear Crocs. Batali is drunk. I don't know if that's a question, but I guess so.
Yeah, but it's a scenario, and the question
is a fantastic scenario.
It's evocative. Evocative and provocative.
So if you haven't looked at, and you haven't seen my Twitter account, the photo is of my Mario Batali orange clogs.
Yes, I actually have seen that one.
I'm so sorry. which I got so that I could be zombie Mario Batali for Halloween.
How do you differentiate?
You don't. And no, I was going to put on makeup and do the whole thing, but then I had kidney stones and couldn't walk around for Halloween.
Oh,
so,
yikes.
So
you couldn't be like kidney stone Mario Batali zombie, work with it.
Right, I could have. I really just gave it up. I think that Mario Batali wins,
even drunk.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, shit food blogger, but I think so too.
Oh, absolutely.
I think you're a really good cook.
I am. Thank you.
I gleaned that from the internet.
But it's fucking Mario Batali.
Yeah, it's Mario Batali.
No, I know. He's a good cook.
He's probably always drunk. I don't know. I believe
him. Who knows? Okay. This is another one from Baconator. When pairing booze and food, do you prefer to eat first to get a base or just drink?
So I always drink before I eat. So I'm drinking while I'm cooking, and usually it's a gin and tonic. And the worst thing is I can't really taste anything after that. So I am... always, I'm chronically undersalting. So the answer to the question is drink first.
Okay.
Also salt later.
Salt later.
Baconator asks, how long is your favorite recipe?
Oh, it's so long. How long is it? It's a Barbara Lynch. And Barbara Lynch recipes can be incredibly long. They're so good, though. They're good every single time. So I think it's one of her lasagnas, probably, is the longest recipe.
So the answer is how long? So long.
So long. So long.
Okay. And then I think this is part two. And would you share it with your mom?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
No. Okay. No. My mom wouldn't get it.
Oh, okay. Also from Baconator, what veggie would you use for every dirty act you perform in 1 month? I asked Amanda Cohen that when she came on the show.
What'd she say?
I think maybe eggplant.
Yeah.
It's kind of obvious.
I feel like it's obvious. I feel That's like
a little less obvious than that, what I would think. But
what would you think?
We played Kill Fuck Mary with vegetables.
Okay.
Got it.
So it's kind of different.
I'm going to go butternut squash.
Nice. Seasonal.
Maybe acorn.
We'll see what's available.
I would hope it would be an autumnal month.
Yeah. Oh,
keep
always
it
in season.
Always
in season. Thank Absolutely.
You. Great.
Spring onion?
Spring onion. Burning.
Ramp.
Okay. So those were our tweets. I think you did a really good job.
Yeah,
you knew
thanks,
the answers to all of them.
Thanks, everyone, for tweeting.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
that was really fun. We have some more fun things in mind. I don't know if you're familiar with the writer Raphael Brion, if that's how you say his name.
I don't know, but yes, I am.
He used to be the editor-in-chief of Eater, and now he works at Bon Appetit. He's the editor-in-chief of bonappetit.com. And before he left Eater, he made a list of all the words. Are you guys making fun of me?
No.
Okay. He made a list of all the words that he banned.
Yep.
From his journalists, and I'm assuming the ones at Eater weren't allowed to use it. I'm guessing the ones at Bon App are not allowed to use them either. So I thought we could just do like a little word association with that list.
Yeah. Okay. Is this like therapy?
No.
Oh. Maybe just more fuel for your fire.
Okay.
These are just words that he doesn't like, and I just kind of wanted to know how you feel. So this can go like a couple ways. You can either be like, oh, I hate that word, or you can just talk about how it makes you feel.
Okay. Or if he's wrong.
Yeah.
Fine.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, some of these are very controversial. He says, use these and the fury of 1,000 hailstorms will descend upon you. We'll see what happens.
All right.
Joint, as in referring to a restaurant, as in a joint.
Absolutely would use it. Absolutely.
He says it's dismissive.
Well, it's not. It could be celebratory. Maybe tone matters there. Joint's not dismissive.
I will say I had a boss who called all of his restaurants joint.
Well, that's obnoxious. That's not accurate.
Okay, so foodie, unless it's in a derogatory manner.
Yeah, it's a weird word. It's a childish word. Foodie.
Feelings. So many.
I don't still, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't use it. I don't use it.
Foodiepreneurs. Foodie-preneurs.
No, don't like it. Agree. I agree.
Okay. Edie's. He gives credit.
Oh, that's horrible.
He gives credit to Rachel Ray.
Well, she can suck it. That's
a word.
Terrible.
I haven't even heard that
Edie's,
before.
That's not.
Well, and it's another word that she made up. It's like, you know, Shakespeare made up words.
That's I don't think it's the same thing.
Nope. Okay. A toque, as in a chef. A chef is a toque.
No, it's terrible. Okay. Don't use it.
Top chef or top chefs? Not necessarily talking about people on the show, top chef.
I think use it because it's a shorthand that most people kind of understand generally who you're talking about. But I think it also kind of it usually stands for, and I'm not supportive of this, I think it stands for male chefs typically. Mm. I think it's a very exclusionary. It excludes.
Okay.
So don't use it. But maybe do use it. But don't.
How about under a toque? See lines like,
who the fuck says that? Nobody says that.
I've never heard anyone say
that. There's no reason to have this rule.
It's banned?
Not a goddamn person says that.
Like,
no
as in,
one.
The chef now has two jobs under his toque.
You know what?
I've never heard that.
Fire that person. Whoever wrote that, fire that person. That does not need to be on a list. Just fire people.
You are agreeing with him, I think.
I think he's a good writer.
Well, of course he's a good writer.
Yeah.
Of course he's a good writer. That's without question.
Okay.
Is it? No, it is.
How about chef testant?
No. Yeah. Oh, use that word. Absolutely use that word. That's a fantastic word. Chef testant. That describes a whole breed of gross people. Absolutely. Use that word.
He claims that it's a word made up by Bravo. It's not a real word.
That's a great word. That's the best thing Andy Cohen has ever done. Chef testant. I am supporting that.
Okay. Startender, as in a star bartender. Once again, portmanteau.
No, no one has ever said that. No one has ever written it.
I don't know. Do we have a fact checker here?
No.
No.
I've never heard of
it. Moving on. All right. He has issues with douche, douchebag, douchery, all that. Not creative enough.
Yeah, I agree. I just, calling people a douche, it has some misogyny built in. I would not use that.
Here's my thing. I don't know that I would use it in a journalistic manner, but there is something really satisfying about calling someone a douche, probably behind their back.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to give it up.
Like casually, but keep not it. In a written
All right, keep
sense.
It. Right. Don't write it.
Right. All right, chow down.
It's gross. But don't ban it. Why would you ban it? Chow down? Wait, let's use it in a sentence. I would chow down on that.
Pizza.
Butternut squash.
Oh. Yeah. Now
Fine.
It's dirty.
Yeah.
It just feels like we're stoned when you say chow down.
Is that bad?
No.
It feels like we're stoned right now.
Are we?
I feel like it.
You have never been stoned.
I think that's okay.
Is that... Am I stoned?
I don't think you need to be.
Okay.
Okay. Brouhaha.
No, no one ever says that.
I love that. That's like an old word. That's not like some, you know, jerk on the internet made that up. No offense.
No, it's like, it's like an old timey.
Yeah, let's keep it.
I like brouhaha.
Let's keep
I'm going to say yes.
Sort of in the same.
Like a witch thing.
Brew. Oh, yeah. Like Ooh. A witch. Like a witch's
yeah,
brew.
Yeah. Okay, it's on the list.
Sort of in the same vein, hullabaloo.
Wow. We're not 80. I don't think we should say hullabaloo, but yeah. I wouldn't ban it.
I think you're a little more generous.
Yeah, use words appropriate for your age.
Yeah, if you were an 80-year-old writing on Bon Appetit, you may use it.
That's what they need, a new column with 80-year-olds.
Oh, an 80-year-old on Eater would fuck some shit up. That is
I'm pitching
a great
that.
Idea.
You heard it now, Raphael.
Well, he's not there anymore, so let's pitch it to Helen Rosner.
Oh, I was pitching it to Bon App, actually.
Oh, no, not your demo. Let's go, Eater.
Okay, Eater.
Thanks.
Pitching it.
Great. Done.
80-year-old columnist.
I would read her stuff.
Wouldn't you?
Why do I think it's a woman? But I think it's a woman.
I think it's definitely a lady.
Absolutely.
It's like that woman who writes reviews for Olive Garden and everybody loves it. It makes people so happy.
I would love it.
Anthony Bourdain likes her.
I know. I just listened to your episode where you were talking about him writing the introduction.
Oh my God. Thank you so much.
Sorry for the callback. But yeah, I think he's on board.
I'm glad someone's listening. Okay, tussle.
Yeah, use it. Absolutely.
Okay. Hold ye old britches.
What the fuck?
What is he reading?
You know what this is? That is just a big fuck you to everybody as he's on his way out the door from Eater. What do you mean? Why is that on the list?
Is that like in the lead sentence of things like to get attention?
Was it like a trendy thing to like be like, oh, I'm writing for the Courier now.
I think he's trying.
Literally. Hold ye bitches. Bitches.
All right. I say use it.
Use it.
Food fight.
What? Why is that on the list?
I don't know, because a food fight could be fun.
Yeah.
It definitely depends on the context.
Keep it.
Okay. No, I'm skipping that one. Okay, pens, as in I'm penning my article for the Courier.
Yeah, that's dumb. At least for me.
Well, what if it's a feather? What if it's one of those feather
quills?
I'm going to say I'm quilling.
A quill, if you will.
You're quilling.
I'm feathering.
You're quilling.
Chessie sat down with her quill and feathered a nice tail.
Literally.
And then she held her britches. Okay, jumping the shark. I'm guessing like a chef leaving a restaurant. I don't know, that's a stretch for me.
I would absolutely keep it. Do you all know the Robicellis? 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 Okay.
Put them in context.
Cupcakes?
So use them in a sentence.
pen that in a sentence for me.
The Robicelli cookbook is a fucking amazing cupcake cookbook.
Okay.
So they did a whole thing called Jumping the Shark last summer, and it was being absurd and ridiculous with desserts, and from that they created Nutella lasagna, which was a worldwide smash. It's great. I took about 10 people to go buy a bunch of their Nutella lasagna at a pop-up shop, so I say absolutely keep it because it created Nutella lasagna.
That's a good point.
Unctuous.
Keep it.
Oh.
Really? Why? Is it moist? Is it moist?
It's not moist. It's unctuous.
Okay, moist. Unctuous, yeah, but it sounds like more pretentious.
Mimi Sheraton uses it.
All right.
Okay. Well, again, older lady using older words.
I like it. Malarkey, not as in Brian.
Oh, I keep it.
Yeah, keep it.
That's a great word.
Wasn't that like a Joe Biden word or something?
It feels Joe Biden.
Again, older people.
So.
Yeah, but I want to hear him say that malarkey. If he said it, I would laugh.
I thought that's what happened. Nom, 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 or nom, nom, nom. No, everyone's shaking their head. No,
I'm not shaking my head.
Jesse's shaking her head.
Nope. I keep it, use it sparingly, ironically.
Why can't we just go back to...
I don't like it.
Does that really communicate?
Write
that out. Write it out on Twitter. Write it out on Twitter.
What like nom, nom versus yum, yum? I hate them all. Ooh. They sound like little cats.
I like to say yumsies.
Do you
Rachel,
want to take that back?
Ray.
Do you want to take it back?
Exactly.
My roommate always says, delicious town.
Your roommate?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. This one I hate. When people say sandos or sammies instead of sandwiches.
No one says that.
They do. I read it all the time.
Those are garbage people.
Don't have time to finish a word.
Okay. And then finally, cray cray.
I think we've moved past cray cray.
I think so too.
I think just cray will be fine and use that one sparingly.
Okay.
Great. I mean, the Z is so exhausting to put in crazy.
So much. It's too much.
Sometimes I find it satisfying to say like in the same vein as douche. Mm. Like it just feels right.
Cray douche.
But I don't.
Cray cray douche.
Nom nom. But I don't think I'd write it.
Yumsies.
Let's take a break.
You're listening to Intrigue by Obey City.
I'm Amy Mills from 17th Street Barbecue in Southern Illinois, and you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
And we're back here on The Morning After. We've been talking with Shit Food Blogger and having a pretty darn good day. What do you think, Sari?
It's the best day of my life.
Best day of your life. So Shit Food Blogger, now is the time in the show when we give you the Morning After quiz. So Shit Food Blogger, back in 2012,
yep.
Shit People Say was a viral video craze that swept the nation. I'm sure you're familiar.
Very.
So let's see if you can tell us where people say this shit.
Oh, God.
This is the Morning After quiz. All right, yeah. Question one. There's going to be three questions, all multiple choice. I think you're familiar with the Morning After quiz.
Very.
All right, so question one. I'm just really chemically sensitive. Are you wearing soap?
Shit white girls say.
wait, let me...
Never happened.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm just chemically... I'm really chemically sensitive. Are you wearing soap? Is A, shit New Yorkers say?
Oh, pretty good.
Is B, shit San Franciscans say?
Oh.
Or C, shit people in LA say?
Oh, God. I'm feeling... Oh. LA?
You say C, shit people in LA say.
I do.
No.
It's God damn it.
My favorite from shit San Franciscans.
God damn it.
Got to remember, San Franciscans, because I was just there. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right.
It could definitely have gone either way, though.
Yeah, right. But I'm taking this very, you need to know that I'm mad now.
That's my point. Okay. That's I had to put that one in. I almost had a different question than I had to put that one in, because
right.
It's my favorite. Anyway, question two. Don't worry, I've hit a pedestrian before. Is A, shit people in D.C. say? Is B, shit New Yorkers say? Or is C, shit people in L.A. say?
I feel like New Yorkers.
You think New Yorkers say, don't worry, I've hit a pedestrian before?
Yeah. Oh, God, no, it's D.C. Oh, fuck. Which one is it?
I'm not going to give you any answers.
This is the worst. All right, I don't know. I'm going to stay with New Yorkers.
No, you have. You're going to say, shit New Yorkers say.
Yeah.
It's actually shit people in L.A. say.
Fuck them.
Think about it. Think about how many people are in cars in L.A.
I'm not going to think about it. Fuck them. God damn it.
All right. Question three. Just take LSD to get there. Is A, shit San Franciscans say? B, shit Bostonians say? Or C, shit Chicagoans say?
LSD?
LSD to get there.
I don't know.
Like the drug.
Well, I think so. Boston.
Shit Bostonians say. No, actually, it's shit Chicagoans say. LSD, Lakeshore Drive.
Oh, fuck.
Oh,
you should have known that.
That was a trick.
That's not a trick. This is, you know what? You can't think literally. You gotta think.
No, why would you think literally? I want a do-over. No, those were great. Those were very good.
You can play along every week.
Feels good to have 2012 back, doesn't it? I had to watch a lot of those.
I'm so sorry.
Watched some really weird ones.
Now you're sitting in the room with one. I'm so sorry.
Shit Food Blogger, thank you so much. It's been wonderful to have you and keep you anonymous.
Well, thank you for having me. Thanks a lot.
Tell us about where to find you on the blogger sphere zone.
You can find me on Twitter at Shit Food Blogger. You can find me on Tumblr at shitfoodbloggersay.tumblr.com. You could find me on Instagram. I wouldn't. I'd just stay with Twitter and Tumblr.
Let's do it.
All right. This is The Morning After on heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.